this meeting to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please guide our meeting this evening. Please be with our residents, and please be with our employees. Please be with our military, and please be with our country leaders. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Lehman?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Asadaka?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here. Item 5, citizens' participation. Ms. Balcom. Yes, ma'am. That way we can hear you.
First of all, I've lived in Kirby for 46 years. Several long weeks ago, I called the fire department dispatcher to see if there was a box in the lobby to sign up for yard decorations. She said, no, there's nothing there. Call the Kirby City Hall. I called the Kirby City Hall number, and I got all the options to for the different garbage department, whatever. The only one that I could identify with was the Kirby City Manager. She did not identify herself by name, so I don't know who I talked to. I left a message, and I would like for that person to leave her name on the recording. I left her a message asking, were we going to have Christmas light judging, yard judging? I never got a call back. So there was no box in the lobby here. I had no way to find out if there was yard judging. I was here in January or February, and some lady from the beautification committee met me out in the parking lot, and she said, I'll guarantee you that I will take this job over, and we will have a yard judging this year. It never happened. I never found out from anybody that there was any judging going on. So what can we do to get somebody to get us on the committee to do yard judging? I have my trophies. I won third place in 2010, and I won first place in 2011. And this is when Kevin Riedel was fire chief. After that, nobody took it over. But the fire department then took it over, and they went around and did the judging. So this is my concern. Somebody needs to do that. My yard is lit up. I do it every year. I've done less and less because I broke my hip in July, so I wasn't able to do as much as I could. But there's a house on Ackermont Road that is just fantastic across the street from the Catholic Church. The whole thing is lit up. Do these people care? Does anybody care that anybody lights up in Kirby? We need to do something. Somebody needs to care. Somebody needs to do something about Christmas lighting. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Item 6A, regular meeting minutes. I will entertain a motion for the meeting minutes of December 13th.
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept the regular meeting minutes of December 13th, 2018. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. Did you get that, Patty? All right, the minutes pass. Item 7A. Update, discussion, and possible action on Ben Zingelman Road reconstruction project. I will turn the floor over to our director, Gilbert.
Good evening, Mayor, Council.
As far as Ben Dingleman project, they're working on phase three. They're taking out the sidewalks as of right now. Once they complete that, they didn't want to inconvenience anybody for the holiday, so they left the driveways intact. Due to the rain, I'm sure it's going to be a little bit slower until it dries out, which might be a couple days, and then but they're continuing to do demolition. After which, the holidays at the beginning of the new year, they will be working on the driveways, and believe they said they would be doing six at a time. And so once they get through that, they've already milled it, so they'll get through that. They'll do the concrete pour, you know, the whole nine yards, make sure that it's the grades are correct. And then after phase three is completed, then we're going to go back, review the three phases before they move on to phase four.
So when you said they'll start after the new year, what date are they planning on starting?
Well, when we come back on the on the second.
On the second?
Yeah, they said they were going to start as soon as New Year's up. So they wanted to wait till after the holidays, so it'll be the second of the year.
So have they already sent out their letters?
They sent them out when they started the first project, when they started the demolition on there. So the public's notified of that, that they're going to be doing the demolition through. We give a date, you know, we give a couple dates from this date to this date we'll be starting. So the public is aware of that. And again, they won't be doing any driveways until January. So.
But right now they're not doing anything, correct?
No, right now they're just doing demolition on the sidewalks between the driveways. So that way residents can go in and out. They can't form anything until it dries up, so I think they're going to go ahead and continue on demolition. And then once it dries out a little bit more, they'll be able to put the forms. And they put the forms in, the drier it is, the better, because they won't move on them, you know, and the concrete will come
out. The only reason I ask is because when at the last meeting, Mark Kill had mentioned that they weren't doing anything this week because of Christmas. So that's why I was asking.
Yeah, well, they went ahead, I believe, if I remember correctly, maybe I talked to him outside. He said they were going to do the sidewalks, but not the driveways.
Okay. And have the temporary mailboxes been put up, or are we not going to do those in that area?
Well, before the project was, I sent an email. Before phase three started, I sent an email to SAC asking them if they had made arrangements, the proper arrangements with the trash and the mailboxes, and I was told they did, so... As of now, you know, when they get to that part, they should have their temporary mailboxes prepped and ready to go for them. So as they're taking out, they should be putting them back in. So.
And is all of the issue with Gaiety, is that all cleared up with the dirt and the fill? And
yeah, they're it passed inspection, that base. So the main thing with that base, we just got to make sure when we do inspections that they're not leaving chunks of asphalt in there. And they have a sifter that they said that we're going to be using. I haven't seen it yet, but they have yet to put base back since they got the okay on the material. Once that happens, then I'll be able to check it out and make sure that there's no asphalt mixed in there. Now, that base was approved to use only on the sidewalk areas and driveways, so... It cannot be used in the street.
And then I did have a couple of concerns from residents that were on Buzz Aldrin and Ben Zingelman because their equipment, their sawhorse and the road signs were actually left in their yard, but they've already exceeded that. You know, they've already moved on. So is that going to be able to be removed out of the yards?
Well, that's the intersection right there. If they are using it, they're going to put them onto the side when they start work again, then they'll put them back up, because you want to make sure you don't want to leave your signs out whenever they're not working, because that'll confuse the public. So they should be taking them down and then putting them back up when they start working.
They're just putting them in the yard instead of putting them on the side of the yard or somewhere. They're just throwing them in the yard, like physically in the yard, not on the side, not somewhere out of the way. They're just dumping them. So the residents are pushing them back out, away from their middle of their yard.
If they're pushed back into the right of way and it's a sidewalk or there's somebody
not in the right of way, into the edge of their yard. They're throwing them in the middle of their yard.
All right. Yeah. Like, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. I could talk to them about that and make sure that they keep it towards the edge.
And then even the, you were talking about the signage, and the signage is confusing already because at Charles Conrad and Benzingelman, there is no signs up, but yet on the opposite of Benzingelman, it says no through traffic. So at Springfield, so there's already, once you're going through there, people are driving on the road because on one side it's not there and on the other side.
Yeah, and it comes down to which side of the road they're closing is the side they're going to have the detour on. So if they're allowing traffic coming from east to west, you know, they're going to have it on the west side. You know, when you're going westbound, that there's traffic and it's detouring, and vice versa when they switch lanes on the opposite side. Normally, if there was not a detour, then they would have to have flaggers stationed there. But since there is a detour there, and it's communicating to the public that we're letting this side go through, that's why there's not a detour over there. So they're coming through this way. But if you're driving this way, there's going to be the detour there because there's no flaggers, and that's the lanes that are closed off. And they have to close the whole side of the street simply because they're using excavators and they're loading and unloading trucks to haul off the material. So if they were to limit it to where it was just be the shoulder, it'd be more hazardous to the public and to them. So it's just a safety precaution taken.
You guys have any questions? Right, thank you. Item 7B, discussion and possible action on entering into an agreement with Greater Northeast Little League, Inc. for the use of land owned by the City of Kirby for Little League baseball athletic functions. We have Doug here. The agreement is the same as it has been. The period would run through January 1, 2019 and terminating December 31, 2020. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept the agreement with Northeast Little League, Greater Northeast Little League.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to enter into an agreement with Greater Northeast Little League for the use of the land owned by the City of Kirby for Little League baseball athletic functions beginning January 1, 2019 and ending December 31, 2020. Is there any discussion? Doug, would you like to say anything?
No, I was just here to answer any questions anybody has.
I've been hoping nobody asks.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Akadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right. Thank you, Doug. And please extend our thank you to the Geno group for providing such an amazing service to our residents and the surrounding community. All right. Item 7C. Discussion and possible action on interlocal agreement with the Texas Department of Transportation for a Gateway Monument sign on FM 78. If y'all will recall, we tabled this item on December 13th. We were allowing time to receive electrical plans from Jetter because we were also notified that in all of this correspondence that if we did not send the complete plan, that we would have to go back and redo all of this if we chose to get lights later. And I did speak with our city secretary this afternoon, and we had not received any plans for the electrical from Jetter. So we're basically at the same stage we were December 13th. Now, okay.
Has anybody talked to this gentleman?
I'm not sure Mr. Nathan talked to him.
Jay? Have you talked to Jeter at all?
I talked to him one time, and he gave me a breakdown because nobody has told him what we wanted. I've been informed that a member of our committee did talk to him, And he says, I'm sorry, Jerry, but nobody has talked to me about that electrical work on that sign. So he drove by my house and handed me just a sketch of a I don't know if that would be satisfactory to
the state,
TxDOT, the state or not.
They're going to want all the wiring. They're going to want everything, where the power's coming from, where it's routed to.
There's a pole there. There's a loop at the top of it. There's a meter box in there. There's a connection box.
Similar to the plans.
Showing wire coming out of the bottom of it.
Yeah, similar.
Showing wire going out about I don't know how far from the slab, but he's figured on putting two lights down in the ground showing back to the pole.
Unfortunately, it's going to have to be in a format that is accepting to TxDOT, which will have to be a professional sketch.
Right. Jackie Jackson, chair of the Kirby Economic Development Committee. Our January 2019 meeting, we'll discuss this because we do have the actual application and what's expected. So we will resolve that issue, at least certainly lights or what types of lights we're going to have, and have some potential bids. So right now with Jeter, I don't know what happened with that. Jerry has brought that information up before. We will discuss it in January's meeting and make sure that we do have some type of compliance as far as the actual TxDOT application.
What date is y'all's January meeting?
Let's see. I don't have it in front of me. I think it's the 3rd.
Is
I think
it on the 3rd? So yeah. If
it's next week.
So that should
next Thursday.
Well, we got a sketch from the engineer. That was in that packet that he gave Monique.
But we have to go as a committee. We've got to go back to make sure that we
but
work also.
That's what Ford Engineering designed, not what Jeter. Right. All of the costs.
Jeter don't know what we want.
Which is what Jackie was saying, that y'all are going to discuss that in y'all's January.
Still, after they get done with the EDC.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I was wondering what meeting, because I want it specifically on our next January meeting after theirs.
Yes.
The state is going to ask it to be to scale.
Correct.
Yes. I mean, we know that we have to meet some standards with that. We've got the proposal. We just made to make sure that, first of all, if it's Jeter, because we have some options. We can either go the traditional way with the electrical wiring, or we can go solar. And, you know, that's a possibility, just depending on what we do get in the way of information. So I do apologize for the delay. However, we will bring this back up. That is part of our January agenda. In fact, I think it's one of our first topics. So we can, Jerry, we can certainly look at the specs, see what we need to do to make sure that we're in compliance with TxDOT, and work with our city staff to make sure that the full packet goes in, because we're not sending anything in until we have a full packet.
So you have somebody that can draw this to scale.
Well, first of all, we need to find out what happened, the breakdown communication with Jeter, because I would think that if Jeter is interested in applying or submitting a bid, that they should be able to make it to scale. And if they need to know the specifications, then we can make sure that it has that.
Which you have that to give to him.
Yeah, because we've got the packet. The packet had all the information that we needed to be able to have everything certainly submitted. And several months ago, we had someone from TxDOT who came out, and we had a brief meeting with them, and then we walked in on, I should say, FM 78, and talked about what we needed and, you know, the location.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Pierce to table this item.
Yes, please.
For our next, for our first January meeting, seconded by Councilmember Grant. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember
yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. And can we, with that, can we also add a item for the resolution? Can we do that? Can we put that in front? So that, since it does require a resolution for us to have to accept, can we put that on our January agenda also?
That's what I was going to suggest. And I was also going to ask that if anyone has any concerns about the wording of the of that proposed resolution, to please get that to either Patty or to me, and I'll work through that. And I certainly can explain why I put in what I put in, which is basically that before your December 13 meeting, I had sent an email to the city manager suggesting two minor but important changes to the TxDOT form. And so I thought that the easiest way to make that happen would be for this resolution to authorize the city manager to make the final decision on the terms of the agreement and have the city manager then certify or confirm the five things that TxDOT requires to be confirmed on behalf of the city. That's what the content of the resolution is, and so I would suggest simply that on for the I guess January 10th agenda, that the agenda item incorporate the resolution in the agenda
work. Because I'd like to, even if January comes and we're not able to move forward with this, I'd at least like to get the resolution situated so that we're not having to go back and put it on hold again because we don't have a resolution for that piece.
Well, what we're going to be able to do is sit here and say, yeah, we're for it, but we're not going to know what the cost of it is until after Jenner or electrician, ever who it boils down to,
right,
gives us, or we give them, a diagram of what they need or what they want to do for them to give us a price. And then that comes back to us for us to figure out, are we going to give that committee as much money as they need to put this sign in, or are we cutting it off or what?
Right. So January 3rd, y'all should have some answers that can be brought back.
Some answers, but you're not going to get enough to okay it.
Right. At least I'll be headed in the right ballpark.
Well, you'd be coming into compliance with what the state wants, and if you're, you got to get that done because they're going to just, you know, work you to death if you don't. The state is just, you know, they're.
Well, I was trying to read this article that's in our packet.
Right.
And if we start going by what they're saying, we're a long way from getting this thing okayed.
Item 7D, discussion and possible action on the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board operations budget, financial statements, and outstanding bills. I will ask our attorney to just give us an overview of the meeting that we had at the senior center with that board.
So on September 25th, the mayor, Councilwoman Wilson, Councilmember Pierce, the city manager, and I attended a meeting of the board of the Kirby Senior Center Corporation, at which there was an action item concerning discussion and possible action on changes to the Articles of Incorporation of the Kirby Senior Center Corporation in consultation with the Kirby mayor, lawyer, and city manager. And at that meeting, there was a very lengthy discussion about some of the rules that are in the statutes that created and the statute that governs a local government corporation such as the Kirby Senior Center Corporation. The corporation was formed and incorporated in 1992 under two statutes. One was Article 1528L of the Revised Civil Statutes, and the other was Chapter 394 of the Local Government Code. 394, Chapter 394 of the Local Government Code, is the surviving statute. The other statute was repealed a few years after the Kirby Center, Senior Center Corporation was incorporated. So the center now operates under its Articles of Incorporation, its bylaws, all as governed by the rules in Chapter 394 of the Local Government Code. The Senior Center Corporation has an independent board of directors. The directors are generally recommended by the Senior Center Board, but come as recommendations to the City Council, which has the final say on appointments to the Board of Directors of the Kirby Senior Center. The articles provide that the board will consist of not less than five nor more than nine persons with terms of office for 3 years. The bylaws and the governing statute require that all directors are to be residents of the city of Kirby. And to the extent that the Articles of Incorporation as amended are not consistent with the statute and with their bylaws, that is something that ought to be corrected through a subsequent amendment to the Articles of Incorporation. And we had a long discussion with, I think, valuable comments coming from members of the Senior Center Board about their sense of how this may not be as workable as they had hoped, and that they would like to consider perhaps rethinking or coming up with a new plan for the center. We left that to their discretion. They're the appointed board, and they, you know, have that opportunity to bring those kinds of changes to the council if they so choose, but that the council's role is to appoint members to the board and also to approve any amendments to the Articles of Incorporation before they can be filed with the state. There is a very specific procedure about what happens if the senior center were to close, and that the senior center's assets would go to the city, and the statute requires that they be used for a very specific purpose. The awkwardness or unusual circumstance is that because Chapter 398 is called the, it has a housing purpose as its primary purpose, any corporation like the Kirby Senior Center Corporation that's formed under Chapter 394 is subject to the restrictions on use of its assets if it gets dissolved. And the restriction is that the assets go to the governing body, to the city that approved the initial incorporation. That would be the city of Kirby, and subject to the governing body, the city council, with a very specific limitation on the use of any assets that might be left. We also had a discussion about the possibility of the corporation converting to be under the auspices of a different chapter in the local government code. I pointed out to the board of the senior center that statute had similar city council control over the board of directors and the appointment of the board of directors, and that it might not accomplish the purposes that they had in mind. And the discussion basically went to a questions and answers, and a suggestion was made that the Senior Center Board make a presentation to the City Council about, you know, what it considered to be the goals and objectives for the Senior Center, and having the council react to that rather than expecting the council to tell the Senior Center Board what to do. I know there Mr. Romans, I believe, is here, other people who were at that meeting besides the members of the council whose names I mentioned earlier may also be here. Mayor, I hope this is responsive to what you had wanted me to report on. And, you know, I would suggest that if you or Ms. Wilson or Mr. Pierce have any other comments about this, that this would be an appropriate time for them to be shared with the entire council.
There was the part about the residents being, or excuse me, the members being members of Kirby. That was my concern, just for the fact that there's two, I believe, that are not, unless they've resigned, I'm not aware because we haven't been notified, but there are two individuals that don't reside in Kirby. However, I believe they reside in the area serviced by the Senior Center.
And it's a natural thing to try to have, you know, interested people who care about this, the Senior Center and what it does, be on the board, whether they live in the city or not. Unfortunately, the statutes, Chapter 394 of the Local Government Code, specifically states that to be a member of the Board of Directors of the Senior Center, a person has to be a resident of the city that created the local government corporation. That does not mean that a person who's currently on the board but doesn't live in the city could not be active on a committee or be an otherwise active participant in Senior Center activities if the board were to open the center to non-residents, which I think it does. But board membership is restricted by the provisions in Chapter 394 of the Local Government Code.
And so that's my concern right now, because if it's no less than five, but no more than nine, then with two of the individuals, that only, I believe, gives them three. If the other, since there was resignations that were given the last council meeting. Is that correct, Roger?
Okay. So it certainly would be appropriate. I mean, this does say discussion on possible action, but it would be appropriate to ask the Senior Center Board to try and identify potential board members and bring to the council for consideration appointment of new board members who do live within the city of Kirby, so that they can populate their board with at least a minimum of five Kirby residents. Now, I think it's important for there to be a governing body. I think governing bodies with five members are better than governing bodies with three members, because you get more opinions, you get more input. You know, hopefully you get more good ideas about how to be productive and serve the community. But we need the corporation to be in compliance with state law sooner rather than later. So I think it would be appropriate to respectfully ask the Senior Center Board to identify new people, additional people, city residents to serve on their board. Unlike some boards and commissions, the statute specifically allows members of the governing body to be on the board of a local government corporation. I represent another corporation that was formed under those same two statutes at about the same time, and there are two members of the governing body on that five-person board right now.
And I think that we had actually addressed that, but because the meetings are held during the day, it makes it difficult for many of us to actually sit in because the board meetings are, I believe, at 2 or that.
Go, you. That was one of the issues that was brought up, and we were looking at moving our meetings to 6 p.m. because that gives more availability to a lot of working people to actually then be on that.
And that was the last meeting. We thought that it was at 6, so we were actually, several of us were prepared to go. However, then there was a change at 2, that it went back to 2 p.m. So several of us weren't able to go. But I think, you know, even in the community, that may be an option, too, to be able to entice more, more participation. I mean, it's the Senior Center is really no different than many of our other boards and commissions and committees that it's difficult to find volunteers, such as the Beautification and Recycle Committee that Ms. Balcom spoke about. I think right now they have an active 3 people that do that, so that's another reason. But I mean, hopefully if that was an option, that it would at least allow more people to participate in that venture to fill that board. So surrounding those 2 people, though, that I mentioned not being there, is that something that we have to remove them? Or is it something that if they're not eligible to begin with, according to that specific, because right now if they really only have 3 without those 2, they really cannot. Sorry, I'm pointing to you because you're the only one here. But because they're not able to meet and to... Roger, if you want to come up, go ahead.
I just want to let the council know that the 3
out of the 4 previous presidents of the board at the Senior Center were actually non-residents.
And we actually made that point before.
And, you know, and it's...
But now...
It seems to be a stickler. Yes, there is a specification in the statute. And, I mean, I agree. Let's follow every statute to the exact tittle and hold everyone 100% accountable for everything. And let's keep that straight down the board and expect it to go both ways all the time then. Because it's like...
Well, see, that's almost combative, and that's not what we're trying to do.
I'm just saying that.
But that's not what we're trying to do. But the fact that we were unaware and now we're aware of it, and if we continue to go down that road, then later on it could present a problem as well. And just to your point right now, well, you did it before. Well, we've got to get away from, well, we did it before. So,
and a recommendation I have is I would love to see a couple of members here be on it, because there's nothing precluding anyone from council actually being on the Senior Center board. And it would be beneficial, I think, all the way around, because then it provides communication throughout, because there's a lot of conversations and a lot of things that go on the city side versus the Senior Center side, and a lot of times things aren't communicated back and forth. And that would definitely alleviate a lot of it. And another thing is, like you said, finding the volunteers to come down there. It's most of the clients that are at the Senior Center are not what we're really looking for as far as board members. We would prefer to get younger people who are wanting to be there, hopefully to preserve the board for when they do get older themselves, because that's kind of the idea of it, is, you know, making it viable and serving the community. And, you know, specifically the seniors. You know, and there's, you know, being made aware of something, I would ask council to, you know, just don't act rashly on it, like, oh, we got to fix it right now, because then it's going to be an abrupt, like he said, we'll be down to 3 people. And that's not beneficial for us. I know that we would be violating a statute for a period of time, but, you know, we need the opportunity to get input from residents in the community, from people up here, as far as candidates who would want to actually come forward and work to help build up the center. You know, it's, we can go out all we want, but it's a community-wide effort, and it takes a lot of people.
So if I may make 2 observations. One, I think we need to be cognizant of the fact that there should not be a quorum of the city council if any council members are interested in being on the senior center board, that you probably limit it to one or two members of the governing body so as to avoid any risk of any quorum issues. And in conjunction with that, we want to make sure that there are no quorum problems with other members of the council being at a meeting. The meeting that the three people, the mayor, Mr. Pierce, and Ms. Wilson attended, was attended by less than a quorum, so it didn't present a problem. But if Mr. Grant and Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge walked in the room, we would have had a problem. So we want to make sure that doesn't happen.
So is there any way to post a potential quorum each meeting?
Yes, we could post a notice of possible quorum of words to that effect. We've done that a couple of times before. I know I've done it in other cities, and so I'm sure we could craft something to do ordinarily. The other thought I have is, as I recall, Ms. Vernon puts on the city website whenever you are looking for a member of the Zoning Commission or a member of the Beautification Committee, and if that's not on the city website now, if the center board were amenable, the city could post on its website and on its Facebook page, you know, the opportunity for someone who's interested to apply to be a member of the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board, just to get the word out.
I do have, when I was on the board of the senior center, I had to resign when I got on council.
That's not true.
I did.
I know.
I got a phone call and told me that I had to come up and write a letter to resign because I was on the board and I had got council.
Well, someone who informed you may have been misinformed and shared that information with you. But
it was the director of the senior center.
Okay. Then she was misinformed. Okay, because, you know, and it's, you know, I'm sorry to hear that because it would have been a good asset to maintain up there. And it's, you know, there were a lot of things, like was stated earlier, there were a lot of things that we were unaware of by statutes and stuff that we have to. And it was, that wasn't a false assumption also made. So you were misinformed and acted upon that. And, you know, sorry to hear that.
Ms. Wilson, the statute has been enforced unamended since 1987, and in section 394.021A, it says in part, a director may be a member of the governing body, an officer, or an employee of the local government. So I apologize if
you
were.
No, that's fine. I was just letting him know, you know, that we were. But
and part of the problem is previous boards really didn't delve into looking at how it's actually set up. Okay, and because of that, a lot of people were operating in ignorance really since the inception of the senior center. And, you know, actually reading through it and bringing things to light, it brings, it's an awakening. You look at the stuff, you go, oh, okay. And it's a matter of correcting things as we go forward.
Well, since you said operating in ignorance, now that we know, I don't think we should continue to operate in ignorance. So that statute specifically says that members shouldn't be, you know, so again, that's why I made that comment, was the fact that we know now. There was a lot of stuff that we covered at that meeting that enlightened a lot of us. So
that's all on your prerogative, because the board members serve at the leisure of council, and you can take that matter at hand this evening if you so wish. You know, but it's, I mean, you know, for what you're saying, but, you know, I would ask you not to hastily do that until we can find some replacements that do accommodate the statute at hand.
But I don't know if there's any hastily. I mean, if somebody is ineligible, then that's why I'm asking, because if it's ineligible, then it doesn't really matter according to a statute.
It really is a toss-up. There are good reasons to allow the two non-residents to remain on the board until they're replaced. There are good reasons to simply thank them for their volunteering. but tell them that, that they, you know, are removed.
Well, wouldn't it be true that anything they acted on could be void?
If theirs were the deciding votes, there is an argument that could be made, but it's probably fairly remote that that could happen. The real difficulty is you put the senior center board in a bind if there are only three members, because that means all three members have to attend a meeting for there to be a meeting, because three would be the quorum at that point.
And I mean, I personally don't want to turn any volunteer away. Like I said, they're very scarce. And those are those two members are very active, to my knowledge, unless something's changed since our last, you know, since our last gathering. And I mean, personally, I don't want to turn any member that wants to volunteer in the community away. So
the ideal situation, Mayor, would be for Mr. Romans and the Senior Center Board to bring to the council, either at the January 10th meeting or at the January 24th meeting, at least two potential or three potential new board members. And at whatever meeting that happens, the council could also act to remove the non-resident board members if they have not previously tendered resignations. I think it would be respectful to ask them to please consider their resignation in view of the fact that they don't meet the eligibility requirements, and they're welcome to move to Kirby and be eligible again. I just don't want to leave the board in a position where it really can't even function.
Exactly.
And so that's why it's a very close question, and I think a kind of a toss-up about how to proceed. But I think, you know, asking Mr. Romans and asking the board to bring, you know, good candidates to the council during the month of January would be a first step in getting these problems resolved.
I mean, January just seems, I mean, that just seems even a small window to, you know, even to that. I mean, I believe there should be a time frame, but just a month to try to gather that is, to me, not long enough.
We had the two resignations from the board, did we not?
Three.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't necessarily think a month time that is even feasible.
Do you have anybody in mind now?
Oh, right now? No, I do not. I mean,
okay.
And I mean, I wish the other members were able to attend, you know, your manager of the department. I wish that she was. It seems like every time this is on the agenda and we talk this, that she's unable to be here. So I'm sad to see her not here to answer questions as well. This was actually put on too because some of the, I don't know, did you see the resignations? You weren't here, so I just.
I had heard about it.
So there were resignations, and some of them, actually most all of them were just the way that there were some ideas that weren't, you know, welcomed. There was also one that specifically stated that financial information was not given or provided. So that was one of the things that was asked for on this agenda, was some financial statements and to see where the senior center was at financially as far as that piece of it was concerned.
So I had the opportunity to listen to the meeting on the recording on the internet while I was away, and I did have a conversation with the manager, and I was informed that while they were in fact given financial information, it may not be in a format that they're readily familiar with. And I inquired if the individuals came into the office to get clarification and information pertaining to answer their questions, and they never did. So sometimes it's, you know, if something is given to you in a format that you're not familiar with, and you actually have to go through and do a little bit of work to read through some of the stuff.
I'm fairly familiar with accounting. So this projected budget that we have is actually the same budget that's been forever. There's not really a financial statement per se that was given as far as that says, if you will, the state of the senior center. The AP aging that we were given, the summary, It shows, for those of you who haven't seen it or looked, it has the 1 to 30, 31 to 60, 61 to 90, and 90 and over. So there are some balances in there. And then there's an outstanding total balance of what's there. But this aging is only showing what was actually entered. So bills that haven't been entered, we wouldn't know. So if there was an outstanding bill that just hasn't been entered into the aging, then you're not going to know what that true piece of it is. There's not really a financial statement that says, as of this moment, this is what the balance is. It does have expenses by vendor, so it shows what vendors were paid in what particular month. So, I mean, honestly, if this was what they were given, I can see why they weren't.
Well, actually,
why they weren't.
If I may, this is actually what they were given.
Is it in a ledger? Is it in a single or a single entry or double entry ledger?
I don't know because we weren't given this.
Actually given. That's quite comprehensive.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I obviously don't have time to go through this now, but this wasn't provided to us, and this is probably more so what was being asked, so I'm not really sure why this wasn't provided.
And I don't know what was specifically asked. I was out of state. And,
I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you listened to it. I apologize. Well, no, I thought you mentioned that you listened to the meeting.
Well, no, I know that at our meeting that I had missed, this was the information that was given to the board members.
Got it. But like I said, there. Again, I don't understand why it just seems like we always come down to this piece of it. So. That people aren't receiving information, and they are. So, unfortunately, those individuals aren't here either. So,
I don't know if it's in a format that someone doesn't understand or something, and they have outstanding questions, sometimes they project it inappropriately, and it is what it is.
Well, like I said, I don't want to speculate because they're not here, and I wasn't privy to that. I just know what they turned in as far as resigning and the ideas that they had. I do know, though, that one of the main things was the after hours, or at least after working hours, to have those meetings. And just the last one that was, it actually was posted at 6 p.m. for 6 p.m., but then there was a handwritten that was crossed out, and 2 p.m. was written on it. So, you know, again, those are kind of things that, you know, some of us were prepared to go, but then we were like, okay, it's at 6 p.m. No, it's at 2 p.m. No, it's at 6 p.m. Because there was actually something sent from the senior center that day with an agenda, and the agenda actually stated at the top 6 p.m.
Right.
So it was, you know, there's just a lot of confusion. But I personally don't feel that we need to remove the two members. Right. I personally don't think that we need to remove the members, because then you, to the point of Mark, then all three of you have to be there. And again, I know how difficult it is to get everybody in one room and with different schedules, and the fact that it comes down to three people makes it extremely difficult. And if there is business that needs to be taken care of, I don't think that it should have to come down to those three people. I do think that there should be a time limit so that we can try to get people on the board. But to your point, there's not anyone from your pool of seniors.
Qualified.
And they may not be able to get out at night either. Right. You know, right now it gets dark at 6, and it's, you know, some may not even drive, so that's another issue. And if they do, then they have to drive in the dark. So.
And that's going to be one of the things for, you know, upcoming for the board, obviously, to go out and pursue new members. And by all means, if anyone on council is interested, let us know.
Well, I won't ever be until... until that time frame is set in stone, because, like I said, I think there's several people up here with the same.
There's nothing set in stone on when the meetings have to be, and I personally recommended the 6 p.m. time frame. And a lot of the board members stated that, well, they want the seniors to be able to be there to participate in meetings and stuff. But when it comes to, you know, then they're just there to... Right. Listen and gossip. They're not really putting anything in. They're the clients. There's board members down there routinely. If there's concerns or issues, those clients can easily talk to board members to have those concerns raised at a meeting at a later, you know, if it's at a later hour. You know, and it's, I think it would be beneficial and appropriate to have it probably 6 or 6:30 in the evening to get more people involved.
I would have to agree with that as well.
Is this when we ask about the bills?
Yeah. Wait, this is, it's open.
I have a question.
Wait, let me ask. Okay. Mark, there's, what did you want to ask?
Go ahead.
No, I just don't want to ask anything that's not specifically stated here. So if it falls under our...
It does.
Yeah, that's what I said. If it falls under there, then ask away.
Okay. When we were having our auditors, the city had not paid, the senior center had not paid the auditors at that time from the last year, right? And we had to request the payments for that. Mm-hmm. And that's been cleared, right?
Yes. In fact, the audit was done in November, was the previous year's audit. We're pending the results of that. We should be getting it in January. And as soon as that comes in, the information will be provided.
No, I'm talking about the bill. Y'all were late on the bill for our auditors.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were not doing our audit because we needed to pay that bill.
Well, they came in and did our audit, so I guess we're paying the bill.
And then...
Well, the reason, actually, Norma had actually come up here because it was going to negatively impact the city's audit.
Slightly.
If, in fact, because at some point there's an umbrella that attaches us, as far as the city, to the senior center. So if there's something that's unpaid, because the audits were put together, it was like a joint.
That's a year ago audit.
We did resolve that, didn't we?
Right.
That, yes.
Bill?
Our city manager made a phone call to the senior manager, and that was taken care of that day.
To stay on Ms. Wilson's point, the aging summary as of December 20, 2018 does have Armstrong, Vaughn & Associates, and it's straight zeros across.
Okay.
So apparently that has been paid. And as the mayor said, it is typical, but it is not mandatory, that a local government corporation's results be incorporated into the city that created the local government corporation into that audit. If it's not, then the local government corporation is going to have a much larger expense for an audit because it's going to have the whole audit done at its expense. And I have seen it both ways. I don't know what Armstrong, Vaughn & Associates would quote the senior center to do its audit as a freestanding audit of just the senior center, and then how much it would charge the city to just do the city's audit. If it were done separately, then there would be an auditor's note on the city financial statements saying that the financial statements are not totally done in accordance with the generally accepted accounting principles because it excludes a local government corporation under the auspices of the city. But that, in the case I'm thinking of, has not impacted that city's ability to, you know, get favorable bond ratings and favorable interest rates on bonds. So that is a possibility. The downside is that it may cost the senior center more than it would cost the senior center if its audit, if its books were audited in conjunction with the city's.
Just out of curiosity, it looks like you reconcile quarterly. Would that be correct?
This last year,
September, so that you'd have 3 months would be another quarter.
I don't know. I'd have to check with the billing lady. I'm not going to give you a specific answer because I don't know.
I'm looking at the entries there, and it just seems to me that it would be more efficient, really and truly, to be on a monthly reconcile as opposed to a quarter.
Now we will be doing monthly reconciliations, but with this last year, October,
well,
November was
the
transition.
Fine. You've already thought about that.
Yeah, and the monthly reconciliation is a lot easier.
Exactly.
And do you still have that person that was hired? Is that person still doing your books?
Doing the taxes. Primarily the assistant there is entering and taking care of the bills on a daily basis now. And that's being...
Did y'all hire an assistant?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't aware that you hired somebody.
Well, it looks like the ledger, what I'm looking at is a single entry and a running balance. Does that sound about right?
Sure, I'm...
Okay. No. I'm just saying that's what it looks like. That's why the reconciliation should be probably on a 30-day basis, because you can tell where your immediate bottom line is. Because if you go quarterly, it looks like it's getting a little thin there in a couple of places.
Oh, and there's times where some of the funding comes from different sources. And when they don't pay in a timely fashion, then, yeah, we get tight. But it's just like any place. Yeah, then, okay, next week this check we know is coming in supposedly, and when it's a week or two late, it's tight, you know, but we make do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's easier to do it on a shorter basis than a longer basis, really and truly. That way you could maybe, if you saw it really getting thin, that, you know, quicker little action, not get an NSF or something like that.
And they've been doing pretty decently. The books have gotten better. I've been staying on it a little bit and getting a little bit more organized.
Well, just to be blunt, are you solvent now?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, okay. It's just like any place else. It gets tight.
Okay.
And, you know, they'll be doing an ask letter again through the community and, you know, going to different businesses and looking for people to make contributions to keep it going.
So what is the manager role in the finance part of it? Because you said you've been delving into it, so.
Well, I just want to make sure. She had told me previous times that, you know, things are tight. Well, I just want to kind of, you know, making sure that, okay, you're managing, you know, because.
I was just wondering if the practice had changed, because previous she stated she didn't know what the balance was. She would call the bank to find out what the balance was, and if there was money there, then she would write a check. So I was just curious as to...
Actual accounting program is Quicken, and they're lining up the Quicken right in conjunction with the bank account, and they're maintaining it, you know, a good handle on the balance.
Well, one more question, because we get asked this all the time, and it's not other than just a general question. Who in the organization there looks for grants and tries to answer and apply?
And you know what? That's the job of the board.
Exactly.
And we don't have a grant writer. You know, for us to get someone on the board who's a senior in the community does not help us as far as our grant writing goes. And I've gone to numerous funding entities, and I'm going to continue to do so.
Okay.
You know, but you know, that's the kind of people that we need to get on the board, is those people who have connections can go on out and facilitate and help do that kind of stuff. And if anyone up here knows anyone that falls in that category, by all means, give a recommendation, give a call to the manager so that we can get that information, because we would like to pursue those type of individuals. Because, you know, it's so much of the stuff now is when you go to the governmental agencies, there's so many rules and regulations, and a lot of corporations are following right along that same standard. And it's some of it's,
well, you have to know, you have to look at their language, and you have to answer them in their language when you write a review for a grant. Yeah.
So can members of the board only be appointed through recommendations of the senior center board, or can council appoint without the
council,
senior center recommendation?
Council can appoint anyone it wants, notwithstanding a recommendation, but the procedure, according to the documents that are existing right now, is that the senior center would present names. And then the council can appoint whoever they want, those names or anyone else the council wants.
The only reason I ask is what we were talking about, since you're lean, in the event that a meeting couldn't be held, but there was actually names that the senior center had, but they hadn't actually had a meeting to vote on it, if those could be sent to the city. So, you know, because otherwise, I mean, I know that there's been a lot of stuff from the senior center in which they couldn't have a meeting, or they didn't have a meeting, so it held over to their next meeting. So that's the only specific reason I was asking, as far as if there was something that if it only could be through their recommendation after they met, or if it was something that if they couldn't meet but they did have candidates that they could submit them directly to the city manager and we could get it placed on the agenda.
I think the council can appoint in its discretion.
Okay.
I think there's the interpretation of the latest amendment to the articles says in part that the city council will appoint a person or persons to serve the new term or to complete any term. The person or persons recommended by the board may be appointed by the city council, or the city council may appoint any other person who is qualified to serve on the board. So I think the council has the discretion to act, but you know it's always a good idea in a situation like this to give the government, the current governing body, the opportunity to look for and find people who they believe will be compatible.
Absolutely.
But if that's not, if they don't have any candidates or if there are alternatives, then I think the council could go ahead and just make appointments. Obviously, you need a specific agenda item.
Right.
But only that.
Well, that's why I was asking. Then it could be submitted to the city manager. City manager could get on an agenda if in the event that that the senior center couldn't meet, you know, to fulfill that.
I would ask, though, if you're going to put it on the agenda, to at least contact the city manager ahead of time. Say, hey, we got this individual who is interested on the board. I mean, you know, you have the right to act and not contact, but... You know,
I wasn't even thinking about us finding someone and just appointing them. I was actually thinking as a fact that's why I specifically asked if it had to come from a recommendation, because if not, then that alleviates the board having to try to meet and, you know, circumstances happening where they can't.
Interesting. Mayor, may I ask a question? So,
absolutely.
Okay, so are we going to take a King's X on the two and let them remain so they can try to keep functional until such time as? But what time frame? We don't.
Right, that's what I said. I don't think. I don't think a month.
Or 20 days is going to work.
Exactly. I mean, that can be up to council. I mean, if somebody wants to make a suggestion, I just don't. Again, I don't want to turn away volunteers.
Well, when I was at their last meeting, they said they were going to go quarterly to meetings, but they were going to meet in January and then start quarterly.
Were you privy to the information from the last meeting? I know that you weren't there. So
a lot of the information has been very redundant, and there hasn't been a lot of input as far as, and then special meetings can always be done. If there's a fundraiser or something's going up where, you know, ideally it's done by committees, not by the entirety of the board. But the same thing here at the city sometimes. That falls through sometimes and doesn't happen.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Councilmember Wilson, finish your thought about what the quarterly.
Oh, so could you bring it at your first quarterly meeting, since you're going to have a meeting in January?
Well,
I haven't been
privy to the fact that they were going to be going quarterly. It was suggested, but...
And they voted for it, and then they kind of said that they would meet in January and discuss it.
Okay, I'll have to look at the last agenda and
so then you could do it the next quarterly, which would be March, January, March.
So if y'all do have a meeting in January, that is at 6, where people could actually, you know, a lot of us could possibly attend. If you can please let the city manager know in advance, or Patty, so that she can possibly post a potential quorum, so that
if anyone gets information on someone that's interested, by all means, don't hesitate to put it on the agenda for city council, but give the courtesy call to the manager so that she can inform.
No, I'm just talking in your January meeting. You were talking about 6 p.m. I mean, I would like to attend those meetings, but if they're not after 6 or 6 or after, I won't be able to. But if y'all do decide in January to have a meeting at 6, if you can please let the city manager or the city secretary know so that they can post a possible quorum for anybody that wants to go into attend. I mean, I personally don't have anyone, know anyone. I just didn't want to tie the hands of the board if, in fact, there was somebody that y'all had in mind but couldn't meet because of a lack of a quorum.
A question I have is, if multiple council members want to come just to be informed and there's no discussion going on as far as amongst council members, is that considered a quorum of action?
If when, it's considered a quorum, and my recommendation is that okay. council members do attend a meeting of the Senior Center Board. They are attending but not participating.
And the,
they're there to listen and get information so that they'll be, you know, more informed about what the center is doing, what the board is doing. But they're not there to participate in the board, the Senior Center Board discussion.
But it's considered a quorum because if something was discussed there that could potentially come back on our agenda, then it would.
Okay.
Right. So the notice of possible quorum is what's posted. And it's a two sentence, three sentence thing. Hey, I think we did one recently.
We have before, yeah.
Well,
I think we did that at that meeting.
Well, just out of curiosity, to expedite this, because we're kind of walking that King's X thing, you think you could. You actually go to like a 1 month, every 30 day situation, say if we go 90 days to facilitate bringing the members in and replacing these other members instead of the quarterly thing so that everybody will be on notice that they're not going to go to March again, that they're going to go January, February, March.
And then again, it's just going to depend on if there's somebody that wants to do it. I mean, we have committees open now that
I know
that meet after 5:30 or 6, and we can't fill them.
And I agree with you. So, the thing is, but I mean, at what point in time, if I see your concern a little while ago about where we're at with these two people, but you don't want to throw somebody away, so to speak.
Correct. You don't. I mean, they're valuable.
I think we need to conserve them as long as we can, but what do you think? How long do we, are we in a comfort zone, I guess, is what I'm asking you, Mark.
Well,
the January.
I'm the one who suggested January 24th. So
I know.
So
I did.
My feeling is the sooner this
the
gets
sooner
resolved,
the better.
But I understand and respect the mayor's point of view that in light of the difficulty of finding volunteers
exactly.
for other boards, it's not going to be easy for the Senior Center Board to find someone. You don't need to have a motion and a vote on what the deadline is, but I think just letting them know that the council is interested in seeing these positions filled with other interested parties, other interested potential board members as soon as possible. If you're going to put an end date on it, I guess the reasonable end date would be March 31.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. Okay, that makes sense. Because what I'm saying is dragging them in, gnashing nails, screaming and everything, and rope and tied, you know, yeah, we've got to bring in at least two. Would that be sound? If you have three, you need the odd number, correct?
We do. We will need two more
so
board
two
members
is, two
to replace
is odd number for
outgoing.
Now.
They can go up to nine. So
no,
I mean,
no, I'm saying as long as we keep it at an odd number.
But they have to. Yes, I mean there's two individuals right now that are actively volunteering that do not fit in that statute. But so they would at least need two. But to Mark's point, even if they just did three, that means that Roger and the two other members that do reside in the city would have to be there every
yes.
time.
Yep.
And one of them is also, I know that one of them also has sometimes that job interferes with those. So, again, it's life and it
so
happens.
So we'll play Games X till March 31st and hope we can figure this one out.
And I'll recommend monthly meetings, January,
please.
February, March, to you know, let them know that, hey, this is a pressing issue, and it's something that's going to need to get corrected.
And would it be fair to say that as a courtesy, if we came up with some, I'm so sorry, would it be fair to say that if we came up with somebody on the council that we would inform them?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well,
I mean,
just, you know, so that we keep it open and keep everybody.
Absolutely, because I would believe that they would need to, I don't know, their application, I believe, would be different than the city's application, correct, or is it the same?
The same application.
Okay.
Okay.
But so if Patty received one, I would presume that she would forward it directly to the senior center anyway.
Oh, that's it. So she then, if we get somebody, we come to Pat. I got you.
Correct.
That's okay.
Because they would, I mean, most likely they would be turned in with the city secretary anyway. Even if they're handed through the window, I'm sure that one of the ladies would give it to Patty to disseminate. So it would definitely go back to the board.
Okay. All righty.
Anything else? Great. Thank you.
But I don't know if it's relevant.
Well, you can say it, and then if Mark says no, we can't talk about it, then we won't.
Just say it. Don't worry about it. Ask.
Possible conflict of interest?
For?
With the assistant?
In what manner?
Discussion and possible action on Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board, operations, budget, financial statements, and outstanding bills.
No action taken?
As far as the outstanding bills,
no.
I don't think this is an appropriate venue to be discussing outstanding bills. If there's a representative of the city or a council member that wants to go through the specific outstanding bills, they can go to the make an appointment, meet with Norma, and
make an open meeting request.
What's actually outstanding?
Well, no, my question wasn't regarding an open bill or anything. My question was concerning the assistant that's at the senior center. That is your son, right?
Yes.
Okay, and he's being paid?
Yes, he is.
Okay. With Mr. Romans being the board president and his son working there, is that a conflict of interest, Mark? Since we're trying to get back to, you know, what should be.
Well, I don't know if the senior center has a conflict of interest policy. Typically, in a situation like that, the key is a combination of disclosure by the both the employee and the board member disclosing the relationship, and the board member not participating in any way on any thing that relates to his relative. Now, I'm assuming the board did not hire the employee. I'm assuming that the senior center manager hired the employee. So the board would be involved in hiring, and therefore that would not present a problem. Is it ideal? No. But you have a community of 8,000 to 10,000 people, and you want to staff your facilities. As long as they both respect the boundaries, that should not be a problem. Now, I have not looked at the nepotism system, but the members of the governing board, the board of directors of the Kirby Senior Center are not compensated. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So that the nepotism law will probably not be violated because of the lack of compensation for board members. But it's a good idea for that to be disclosed, and that everybody understand and respect the boundaries, which would include the board member whose relative is employed not participating in any way with anything to do with that relative's employment.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that everything was on the up and up with that, where it wouldn't come back and bite somebody in the you-know-what.
Posterior of the dorsal side, the region of the gluteus maximus.
All right. Is there any other discussion? Nope. All right. Thanks, Roger. Item 8A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Council member Grant.
Nothing tonight. Thank you, Mayor. Yep.
Council member Wilson.
Nothing tonight.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge.
Chief, I would like to ask about the three-way stop signs at Vinecrest and Cinderella. When is that one going to be removed?
When we put the cross-traffic does not stop signs up.
It's up.
Yeah, they're up. And Gilbert and I decided to give it a little bit of time for people to get used to that before we actually remove the stop sign. And we had talked about early December, so we're a little bit late from our projected time. But we can have them down tomorrow or Monday.
Okay, yeah. Great.
There's one on Swan, too.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
I won't run the stop sign anymore there.
Y'all just put them up. We're not here.
Yeah, always run that stop sign. Yep.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yeah. I requested something 2 or 3 months ago, and nothing has been done about it. When are we going to take care of that pothole on, what is it, Edlin and Seguid Road? There's one right in the middle of the intersection now, and if you dodge that to miss it, coming off of Seguin Road, going on to Edlin, if you dodge and miss the pothole, you got to turn your car real quickly to the left to keep from running off the pavement on the right-hand side. And that's a pretty dadgum good-sized drop-off. And if somebody falls off in it with their car and they come back to the city and want to be compensated, I'm going to stand up there beside them and fight for them till my dying day, because it should have been taken care of. Now, I looked at it yesterday when I went by there. Even that whole intersection close to the bus stop area, that whole corner there is all caved in. People coming around that corner, they're going to fall off into that big hole. And I just think it needs to be taken care of. And if you go up the street just a little bit closer to that mule company, there's another one that's starting right there on the edge of the curb. I mean, the edge of the pavement. And it's getting bigger and bigger every time you go by it. That's all. Just want to wish everybody a happy new year and a safe one.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Same thing. Happy new year, everybody. That's it.
Councilmember Pierce?
I'm echoing Jerry and Sylvia, same thing. Wish everybody a happy new year.
Okay, January 12th, we will have our joint meeting. Then we will also, well, it's a joint meeting with different organizations, so we will be talking about several things. One of the things I would like to bring back up is the Parks and Rec and the group thereof. At the last council meeting, I was a little distracted with other going-ons of the meeting, and I failed to say some of the things that I wanted to say. And so I did want to thank the Parks and Rec Committee, because just like I said tonight, it's very difficult to find volunteers. So when you have individuals who want to volunteer, I think we need to do better and figure out a way to work together to meet that goal. And again, life happens. Not everyone on council is at every meeting either. We're just fortunate enough that the majority, since there are seven of us, that the majority of us are able to keep a quorum, and we haven't had to not have a quorum. So I would like to revisit the Parks and Rec, and because I do think that they add value when they're able to meet. They do a lot of stuff. There was things that were, events that had happened previous that hadn't happened in Kirby. Beautification, Ms. Balcom, you had mentioned, and I apologize, I can't have two-way conversation, but Beautification and Recycling Committee had every intention of doing that, but again, volunteers were scarce. They're actually scarce as well, so if in the event that you or anyone else think that you are able to donate a little bit of time and help that committee get going, they're also looking for volunteers as well, so maybe you can help steer in that right direction. I do think it's important. I was very proud of the city residents for the lighting. We drove around. My kids got into it this year. On Happiness, we had several residents that actually put lights up. So I do think it's a worthwhile cause, and it's something that we should heighten and appreciate the people that do. So that will be something else that we talk about in January. That was one of the things about the events that we have in Kirby. There's some traditions, and for those of us who've lived here many years, we all remember traditions that may not happen now that we would like to see come back. But again, it boils down to volunteerism and how many people can actually do it, because when the same people do it over and over, It impedes with their own life and their family's lives, and it just becomes monotonous because they're always gone and always doing. So that's something that I think as a community we definitely need to get out and try to encourage people to volunteer. And when somebody wants to, you know, complain about something, you know, ask what they're doing to help make it better. So, you know, there's the Senior Center Board has openings. Every committee that we have pretty much has an opening as well. So I did want to thank the police department and the fire department for the Santa Parade. That's something that happens every year. And we've been able to maintain that. So that's something fun for all. We did miss a street by accident, and that was well resounded. Again, people, you know, came and decided to, you know, not say things that happened well with it, but to point that one thing out. And, you know, they tried to make amends for that, but it's difficult to turn all of those vehicles around to go down to another. The candy was another thing. Again, you know, if we throw candy and accidentally hit somebody, then the city gets, you know, complaints that somebody accidentally got pegged. If we don't throw candy because we're trying to be careful, then we get told that we're not throwing enough candy. So it's a catch-22, but all in all, I think we have a great community, we have great residents, and I'm hoping, you know, for 2019 to be even better. As we close the week, as we close the year, we reflect on things personally, business-wise as well, and I think the city's no different. I think that we should all be proud of the accomplishments that were made this year. We had some challenges. Benzingelman is a huge challenge. It continues to be a challenge, and I really don't see that slowing down, so hopefully we'll be able to manage to get that out of the way and move on to something better. We have Ackerman coming up, so that'll be happening in the first quarter of the year. And I just think that everybody up here is here because they want to be and they care about their community. And I believe that people that serve on committees are the same thing, whether they live in the city or don't live in the city. They provide worth, and I think that it's something that we just need to keep in mind when we're talking in January. So I want to thank all of our employees and our residents, and thank you for being here tonight, and I hope everybody has a happy new year and be safe.